time for Talking with TD.
Touchdown, Tennessee!
The latest on the Two-Tone Blue with ESPN's Teron Davenport.
Put up a shut-up term.
This is Nashville's best sports talk.
ESPN.
102.5 The Game.
Here we go. That's right. Yes, yes. We are back in the house. You are now rocking with TD. I am your host, Teron Davenport. We have Elijah Campbell hitting the switches, making this thing sound like the chocolate sound in your ear. That's a reference to old school back when I was a kid, a guy named Tony Brown. He used to have a quiet storm, and he would say the chocolate sound that melts in your ear. That's what we're bringing to you today. And speaking of the chocolate sound, we got Chris Sanders coming on. We'll talk a little shot with him. We're going to go in depth about what else? Derrick Henry on Run TMC. And then we'll also have another segment. We're going to go double trouble today. Run TMC two times coming at you. And before we do that, I'm going to open up. And I want to talk a little bit about this Titans defense because it is really, really coming along. And I think you got to look at the secondary and kind of start there. Not because they're solely responsible for what's happening, but just because they have a big part of it. And that's probably where we'll start. And my reason for that is in talking to Jeffrey Simmons after the game, you know, one of the things that he said was a lot of the sacks that they got against the Dolphins were actually cover sacks. And I think really when you look at what's coming together in this back end, you got Amani Hooker who's playing outstanding defense. He's really, you know, coming back into the mix. Kevin Byard is a true center fielder, you know, Eric Davis style, you know what I mean? A gold glove worthy center fielder back there to use the baseball reference. And then Elijah Molden playing that nickel, he's really come along. Now, he had a rough start, and it's funny, you know, because I had some people kind of point the finger at me. It's like, what were you talking about? You were so high on this dude. Well, now you're seeing why. And one of the things that he said was, he was so raw back then and just so, I forget what the word he used, but it's just like totally different now and how he sees the game and how things are happening. He's got a thorough understanding of how to use his space. They're blitzing him. You see him dropping back into passing lanes, you know, so it's really working out for him. So you got those guys. Buster screened it and played last week, but he's coming into his zone as far as, you know, a guy that can play nickel as well as outside. But I want to talk about the outside guys. And I'll start with Christian Fulton. And I remember Marcel Louis-Jopp, you know, the ESPN NFL Nation Dolphins reporter. I told him, I said, look, man, watch 26. Watch him. Now, he gave up that 20-yarder, right, the first play of the game to Devontae Parker. But after that, clamps. And this dude is developing into a top-level corner. I'm not going to, you know, put him up there with Jair Alexander, Tre'Davious White, Jalen Ramsey, et cetera. But he's pushing his way into that next tier, a top corner. And here's why. If you want to go cat coverage with him, you could do that. He could play left, right. He could play in a nickel. I think that right there is something that the Titans need to do more of. I, in fact, would encourage them to do that this week against Brandon Cooks. And Cooks is an outstanding player. Don't get it twisted. And actually, you know what? While we're on that, Coach Vrabel, I asked him about Brandon Cooks because, I mean, this dude, no matter what, he gets 1,000 yards. I don't care who his quarterback is. Here's what Coach Vrabel had to say about Cooks.
He just has the ability to, you know, I guess the skill set and the player always wins out no matter who's throwing to him or what team, you know, what helmet he's wearing. Plays isn't a big player, but he's got speed, and I think he's got really good play strength. He does a great job of creating penalties down the field or catching those deep passes. So, you know, it'll be critical that we try to do everything we can to defend him.
So that's what you have right there with Brandon Cooks and Mike Vrabel and what they have going on. And one of the other things that he spoke about was Jackrabbit Jenkins. And that's the next one that we want to get to because I tell you what, he had an INT against the 49ers. And actually, you know what? I'm going to take this time to shout out my guy, man, No Flags Film. He did a 4-minute cut-up of Jenkins this year. And, man, Rabbit has some pretty solid play. That Cardinals game, obviously, you know, had some issues there. I think it was the Colts game where he gave up a touchdown. The one in Indy, he got routed pretty well. But for the most part, this guy's really settled into his own. And he's playing outstanding defense. Sometimes they put him out there on an island and let him just, you know, stick with that guy. Other times, you know, he's communicating with Kevin Byard. I got your back. Go ahead and shoot that route or shoot that area of the field if you want to. I got you covered. A couple of interceptions have happened that way. The Carson Wentz one that set up the field goal to make it 34-31 in overtime. The pick six that Byard had against the Rams. This was the result of communication. So he's really kind of putting his stamp as a veteran defender. Here's what Coach Vrabel had to say about Jack Rabbit Jenkins.
You know, he was one of those performers. You know, he got it. We recognized him with the game ball, and it has been really good to see him challenge and be productive. And obviously, we touched on the interception a couple weeks ago. I felt he was very good technically the other day. Thought he tackled well when we asked him to tackle. So. A lot more of that would be great this week.
So a couple things that are key there. You notice what Coach Vrabel said, right? Challenge. What was lacking last year? What was lacking from the secondary last year, Elijah? They didn't come up and challenge dudes. Now you're seeing that, right? You weren't going to hear any defenders last year say, hey, man, we got cover sacks. You weren't going to hear that. But this year, they're coming up. They're causing that chatter at the line of scrimmage, making the quarterback have to take an extra second or two because the receiver's taking an extra second or two to get into his routes. And now you got coverage sacks. Now you got the passing game being thrown off. But the other thing he said was tackling. Quietly, the Titans secondary is one of the best tackling secondaries in the NFL. Elijah Molden tackles very well. Christian Fulton. And in matter of fact, I asked Christian about that. He said it's a mindset. It's a mindset that they have in the DB room. They want to make sure that they're chipping into the run defense. Coach Vrabel mentioned Rabbit Jenkins tackling. We know Kevin Byard is solid tackling. Imani Hooker tackles. He had a really good play, by the way, against the Dolphins. It was a screen, and he came up, and he fought off the block. And it was a lineman that was trying to block him. He fought it off and tackled the receiver on the screen. Excellent play by Hooker. All of that goes into having a solid run defense, right? And when you look at what this Titans team has been able to do defensively, they are one of the top teams against the run. They're actually number two against the run. A big part of that also is that guy in the middle, you know, Jeffrey Simmons. And he and Denico Autry, you know, Bud Dupree, Harold Landry, they're all, you know, up front making things happen. T.R. Tartt, when he's in there. Here's what Jeffrey Simmons said about facing the Texans' run offense, which has kind of hit a groove, as well as them elevating their run defense.
I mean, you know that we take a lot of pride in stopping the run. And, you know, they say that Cho Chi said it today. We didn't really got to talk about it to the media, but, I mean, to me it needs to be said that we are chasing that number one spot, and the Baltimore in front of us right now, I think about 16 yards. But we're chasing that number one stop to be the number one run defense. And, you know, that's come with, you know, finishing up the year off against the Texans, who have been running the ball more, and they believe in their running back that, and they are, apparently they're O-linemen because, you know, they're O-linemen blocking guys. So, you know, I think that's the mindset for us. You know, we still, no matter who it may be, we won't let nobody run the ball on us.
Taylor Lewan at the end. Not as cold as I thought it was. Gonna have a sweaty boy today. That dude is a trip, man. But you see it right there, what he's saying, right? How much they take it personally to stop the run. And that's really, at this point in the season, if you can run the football and you can stop the run, you got a chance. And that's why, frankly, the Colts are a team to watch, right? Because they can run the football for sure. And you got DeForest Buckner. They're strong right up the middle, backed up by Darius Leonard. So that's a strong point for them, both teams. But you heard what Jeffrey Simmons said. Now, we looked at the front end and the back end, right? But there's another area that's getting strong. And Jayon Brown is back. Rashawn Evans, you know, he had a so-so game this past week. But up to that, he had been playing really good ball being there right next to Zach Cunningham, who was the pickup. But you know what? We talk about guess who's back and welcome back and this, that, and the third. Hey, man. I'm smiling so you know what I'm about to say, whose name I'm about to say, David Long. You know, I pulled him aside and I was just like, hey, listen, man, I absolutely love your game. Like, real talk, I love your game. I love the energy you play with. I love the passion you play with. And talking to other guys, they said that with your approach and your enthusiasm, it rubs off on them. So after I said all that, I say, hey, man, where does it come from? Here's what he had to say.
I mean, that's a good question. I play for something bigger than myself, my family, people I've lost. It's just so much stuff that goes into my passion, the way I play the game. Just my want to, chip my shoulder, six round, it's a lot that goes in the way I play. So I just keep showing while I'm out here on the field.
Do you have any kind of routine that you go through on game day, music or?
Nah. I really don't have no routine. I mean, I do the same stuff as far as warm-ups. I have a playlist. I talk to my mom early that morning. Dad sometimes. It's really just kind of game to game. I really don't have a set routine.
What's the top song on your playlist?
Probably Shooting Stars by Rod Wave.
So you heard it, right? It's the passion that he has. He thinks about being a six-round draft pick. He thinks about all that stuff leading up to this point. I mean, this guy was defensive player of the conference, the last year that he was at West Virginia. And he played in a wide-open conference. And I say it over and over again. The first conversation I had with David Long was, hey, listen, man, playing in that Big 12 conference, always going against teams who like to get guys in space and just spread things out. How much did that help prepare you for the NFL? How much do you think that has helped you? And he said it helps a lot. Because he's used to playing in space and used to having to know where the help is and the leverage and do some of the things. This is another guy. I say Kevin Byard has a GPS for the football. Hey, David Long has one too, and so does Zach Cunningham. So that's the defensive part of it. I wanted to get into that. I know you guys want to talk Derrick Henry. I know you girls want to talk Derrick Henry. So we're going to do that next with Run TMC. We're going to pay these bills. We'll be right back with Chris Sanders, Forever Titans receiver, Run TMC. Let's go. Hey, it's Teron Davenport. You ever had to sit and wait for 2 hours or longer to get new tires put on your car? Well, you don't have to do that anymore. Call my friends at Freedom Tire Guys. They're Nashville's premier mobile tire company that does it all. New tires, balance, rotation, everything. And they come to you. Your work, your job, your house, you name the spot. Head online to FreedomTireGuys.com, fill out their tire calculator, pick your new tires, and schedule your service date. It's that easy. If you don't see something you like, give them a call, and they'll find it for you. Check them out today at FreedomTireGuys.com.
This is Derrick Henry. You're now talking with TD.
What are we? You already know what I need. Let me get them strings. Come on. That's right, back from the break, talking with TD, Run TMC. You heard the intro. This is Derrick Henry, and I'm talking with TD. It is only right that we double dip in Run TMC today just what? Because the king is back. We might should have came into that Scarface, guess who's back? You know what I mean? Because he's back, man, and we got to see him at practice today. What's going on, Chris Sanders, Forever Titans receiver?
What's up, big dog? Man, I'm good, man. You just gave me some good news. It's like Christmas, man. You know, you find out you're about to get that gift that you've been asking for, and you get it?
Mm-hmm.
You've been asking for Henry the whole time, and he's back.
Yep, they've been asking for him, and here he is. And ooh. I tell you what, I was watching him. They did a little bit of extra conditioning before they actually went into individual period. But I watched him once they got over to individual and they went over their steps and, just some of the drills, the bag work and stuff like that. Yeah. There's videos on Twitter. You could check my timeline. You could check my IG as well. But I tell you what, he actually looked pretty good, all things considered.
Yeah. I mean, but it just shows you the man that he is.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because he probably could have just thrown a towel and said, you know what, Titans are doing well, Foreman's doing well, I'll wait till next year. It just shows you that he wants to win, and I think that's just, we always talk about what makes a man, what makes a guy great, what makes a competitor is the heart that he has.
Yeah.
I mean, this guy has a big heart to say, you know what, this ain't about me. This is about my team. And you know, some other guys would have thrown the towel, but for him, man, it just shows you that's why they call him the king.
Yeah, I mean, he definitely refused to throw the towel in because he wanted to come back. And I think it's a matter of striking while the iron is hot,
right?
Because this opportunity is just totally there for them. They are likely going to be the top seed in the AFC.
Right.
And, man, I think when you look at that, let's get into the surface, right?
Yeah.
I'm going to say this, right? We got hyped up about, you know, Henry coming back to practice this and the third. He's not playing on Sunday.
No, I wouldn't play him.
He's not playing on Sunday.
But see, why risk it? Because, in my opinion, I think they're going to go out there and they're going to blow out the Houston Texans because it's going to be guys that's going to have their bags packed when Foreman runs through somebody's list. They're like, man, I don't want to do this. I'll wait till next year. So just be smart about this. And you said something, TD. I don't want to steal your thunder, but you said something profound yesterday on the radio. You said, don't put them on this turf.
Exactly. And that's what I'm talking about when I said the surface.
Yeah, wait until grass. Because now, if he plants hard, at least the grass will give more, as opposed to the turf making his cleats stick in there.
Yeah, and, you know, having played on that, you know, I played three games in my career on that stuff. So I can't really speak for it as much as you can.
Right.
But let the listeners know that there is an actual difference between the field turf and the actual grass.
Yeah, it is, because grass gives a little bit. I mean, they're both safe, but when you're talking about grass, it kind of gives a little more because you got the sand that you can dig in, and you ever see those little divots that when you make if somebody's running a route or somebody's making a cut, that those divots come up, that means they're digging and digging into the ground, and it kind of gives way.
Mm-hmm.
You're talking about turf. That doesn't do that.
It's not doing
it. It's safe, but it's not going to give and give a little leeway as opposed to grass. So just wait, pump your brakes, understand he's back, understand he run a couple of sprints, understand those things. But let's be smart because this is a great opportunity, TD.
It's a huge opportunity.
Huge.
And that, to me, is why it's so critical to capture the AFC top seed. Because what does that mean?
Yeah.
It flows through Nashville. Guess what Nissan Stadium has? Grass on the turf. You know what I mean? So that's a good opportunity for them to really get him out there going. But let's look at this. You know, you went through training camp and you know, you made the progress up to game day. How much do you think he's missing, you know, by not being able to have that period where you ramp it up in a game, you know what I mean, to the playoffs, et cetera?
I mean, I just think that what he'll be probably missing is just the speed. I mean, everybody knows that he'll be physical. Everybody knows he can cut. Everybody knows he can do those things. But when you're out of the game for a while, you know, you just got to get the rust off. It's kind of like this. I want to give an example. Just like you riding a bike. If you haven't rode a bike, I haven't rode a bike since 1998, but that's a long time. But once I get on the bike, it gets familiar to me. I get more confidence. And then next you know, I'm doing what I used to do before. And that's the same thing with Derrick Henry. He's been in this position. He understands it. All I got to do is get familiar. All I got to do is get rhythm, and it's just like riding a bike.
That's really what it boils down to. It is just like riding a bike. And and once you get back into that swing of thing, you'll be fine. A lot of times, you know, the thing that you do want to be concerned about a bit is conditioning, right? And that's what most athletes, but Derrick Henry is a little bit different.
Yeah.
So I don't think the conditioning is going to be as much of an issue. I asked Tony Dews about that, and he said, and Tony Dews, the running back coach, he said that that's something that Frank Pirano, the head trainer, and Brian Bell, those guys will work on that with him, and they don't really see any issues. I'll tell you another thing that was interesting today. When they got to individual period and it was time to go through the drills, you know what was first up? Tony Dews said, hey, Derek, come on. And Derek looked at him, but then he was the first up, and he was going through the drills, and he was going through the steps. And I was watching, you know how we do, man. Like we look at things a little bit differently. So I was watching, you know how they take that jab step, you know what I mean, before going the opposite direction when they're taking the handoff. You know, I was watching that, and he did that to the right, and he, you know, he stepped, he planted off of it, and he accelerated, And it didn't really look like there were any issues. Now, I thought that really stood out to me.
But you know what it is? With Coach Dews, and I'm going to tell you, the reason why what you just said is so profound and that Tony Dews is a great coach is because he's helping them overcome his fear.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like, just imagine, you know, you don't know how to swim. And, you know, my pops would throw me in the pool. I had no experience, but to make me overcome my fear, he just threw me in there. Then all of a sudden I'm swimming. And that's exactly what Tony Dews is doing. He's saying, you know what, I'm going to grab you, get back in there so you can build your confidence. Because I don't think it's just a physical thing. It's a mental thing.
Absolutely.
Okay, can I cut? Can I get left? Can I get hit? All these things that he's going to be thinking about. And Tony Dews say, you know what, I don't even want you to think. I just want you to go. And that's what happens when you throw somebody in the swimming pool.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's just like you got to hit the ground running. Let's go.
Yeah.
And I think that's a really good thing just as far as, you know, what they'll be able to do offensively. Yeah. You know, Kevin Byard, he said that they've been able to run the football well, and he's not sure that there'll be a boost in the rushing attack, but it's the mindset. You know, it's the mentality of having 22 back there. It's a big thing for that team collectively. Ryan Tannehill said, that he has an impact. You know, he called him a great player. And you look at just some of the numbers, you know, Tannehill has a much better statistical performance with Derrick Henry in the lineup. And it's obvious why, right? They stack the box. They play action. It opens things up. Oh, another thing real quick with the play action and opening things up. I asked Ryan Tannehill about the play action and just because, like, when you're in this offense, right, you know, the play action works so consistently.
Yeah, it does.
Sometimes, like you'll go to hand it off and you'll turn and look upfield and you just have that conviction that it's going to be open. You know, and you got to try to balance that. I think that conviction is going to be even more profound, you know, with Derrick Henry in there and the space that he opens up. But Ryan Tannehill had, he said that is true, and he said you really have to balance it. You want to try to, you know, put the ball in tight windows, but you still want to keep it out of harm's way. Mm-hmm. I feel as though harm's way is definitely being shrunk when you have Derrick Henry in the lineup because of the attention he draws.
Yeah, but you said it greatly, you know, about what you just said is, you know, we always think about if you make one false step, you're done.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what happens with the play action is everybody's going to come up in the box. Those linebackers are going to cheat up a little bit because they want to fill the gaps to stop you, Derrick Henry. Then all of a sudden you got those deep crossing routes that sets up the play action.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's all you need, especially in this league. That's all you need is for one guy to make one mistake, and it opens up so many things. It just shows you how profound, you know, how big the running game is. And just to give credit to Foreman, Foreman's been doing a great job, man. I know we're talking about Derrick Henry. He's been doing an awesome job. He has 605 yards since Derrick's been gone. That's huge, and that's why the play action's been working because the running game is starting to take off. And I think they started to gain wings when they played the Patriots. You know, when you had, I think it was Foreman had 131, or Hilliard had 109, something like that. But the running game started to come to fruition, and teams had to take notice because everybody said this. When Derrick Henry was gone, that the running game was being inept. So what they do, they played the pass, and that's why Tannehill struggled.
Yeah.
But now you got number 7. Now you got 22. Now you got Hilliard. Now you got McNichols. I mean, that's stinking dangerous, boss.
Yeah, and then to compound that with the play action 211. And, oh, by the way,
Julio Jones,
number 2 practice today.
He's
so
good.
I'm going to be honest. I had most of my eyes on 22, but I peeked up at the receivers every so often. And you know, he kind of was a bit reserved because it's his first practice back in over a week. You know, he was on that reserve COVID list, but once they get that going, that's going to be. But what, I mean, what would you expect from Derrick Henry? Like, is this a matter of, you know, they have to protect him from himself and scale him back and not give him as many carries? Like, how would you attack? He's not playing this weekend. Like,
right.
That's period. He's not playing Sunday. I know that, right? I've been told that. But now let's look at the first playoff game, whenever that may be. How do you think they're going to attack his workload?
I just think that it's got to be a process. You know what I'm saying? You don't want to just throw them in there and give them 40 carries. But they're living in a luxury right now. When I say living in a luxury right now is you got Foreman.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't have to give him the ball 20 or 30 times. Give him 15 carries and give Foreman 15 carries because they're both still impact players. Look at this. I just want you to think about this, TD. What if they went 20 personnel? Okay? Two backs, zero tight ends, and three wide receivers. Look how big. Okay, golly, Miss Molly. Look how big this team is. You got two big receivers on the outside, A.J. Brown and Julio. You got a physical offensive line.
Physical one.
And then you got number seven, Foreman, and you got Henry in the backfield at the same time. If you a defensive coordinator, what you thinking, man?
Yikes.
What you thinking, man?
That's what I'm thinking. Yikes. You know what I mean? That's exactly what I'm thinking.
This is my opinion. I cannot see the Titans losing, period. I can't. I can't.
Now, this is the same person, ladies and gentlemen, who was nervous about the Jaguars game, the first one. Nervous about the Texans game.
I ain't nervous about it.
And they did lose that game, by the way. So your spidey senses that were tingling were right. They were right. So you're saying to me you can't see the Titans losing. You know what?
Absolutely not.
We're going to go to a break. I want to come back and elaborate.
All right.
I want to get your look at these playoff matchups and what you think. And we're going to go on the assumption that the Titans win on Sunday.
Absolutely.
This is David Long, and I'm talking with TD.
Guess who's Bizak? You still smell a crack in my clothes. Don't make me have to relax.
All right, back from the break, talking with TD. You hear Jigga, right? Guess who's back? You know who's back. That's Derrick Henry. And Derrick Henry coming back for this Titans team, it changes so much along the AFC playoff picture. Obviously, the Titans are gunning for the top spot. We're going to go under the assumption that they beat the Texans this weekend and get that number one seed. And before we went to the break, Chris Sanders, forever Titans receiver, he said he doesn't see the Titans losing.
No.
And I'm not so sure that I disagree. And so let's look at the matchups, right? So right now, just given how the playoffs would be right now, the Titans would be the top seed. Kansas City would be the two. They would have the bottom seed, which is likely to be the Chargers. It could be the Raiders if the Raiders beat the Chargers.
Mm-hmm.
It could be the Steelers have a shot too, but it'll be tough. So we'll just work off of the Chargers and Raiders. So the Chiefs, it'll be an AFC West battle, right? So then we'll look at the number three seed. That's the Cincinnati Bengals. Ooh, that Jamar Chase is a bad man.
They got a lot of bad men on there, Doc.
No doubt. Tyler Boyd as well. He killed it from the slot. So you got the Chiefs and Chargers or Raiders. You got the Bengals and Colts. You got the Bills and Patriots. Right now the Bills are the four seed. The Patriots are the five, right? So who do you have winning out of the Chiefs and Raiders or Chargers?
You saying the Chiefs going against the Raiders?
Or Chargers in the first round of the playoffs?
I think, you know what? I think the Raiders are going to beat the Chargers to get in. And the reason why I say this is because nobody's talking about them. And you see what they did. They went to Indy and beat Indy. So what does that kind of tell you? So if the Raiders play the Chiefs, I mean, I got the Chiefs. I mean, it's kind of hard to beat them in Arrowhead, so I'm going with the Chiefs.
Okay, so you got the Chiefs.
Yes.
All right, so let's go. Ooh, that's a nice matchup right here, the Bengals-Colts.
Nice yeah.
Who you got?
I'm going with the Colts.
Okay, okay.
The reason why I'm going with the Colts is because, you know, that Jonathan Taylor's a bad man.
I agree.
And in the playoffs, the team who runs the ball the best is the team that's going to win.
High dog.
Great running game.
Ooh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. You're preaching. I'm catching the ghost. Hallelujah, hallelujah. No, I'm kidding. So we got the fourth and fifth seed, the Bills and Patriots. Who you got there?
You know what? I'm not a believer in the Patriots. And I know the Patriots beat the Tennessee Titans, but they don't scare me. I know their defense is pretty good, but I just think if you pressure Zach, I think he's going to throw some interceptions. So I'm going with the Bills. I really like Josh Allen and that nasty defense. I think Bills by two touchdowns.
Okay. So based off of that, guess who comes to Nissan Stadium?
The Bills?
No, the Colts.
Oh.
Yeah, because you got the Colts beating the Bengals. They will be the lowest seed, and that is who the Titans would get, the Colts. So let's talk about that game. What are your thoughts?
I think the Titans are just – it's going to be a physical game. I mean, I know it's, they say – I mean, that's a myth that you can't beat a team three times, and we did it when I went to the Super Bowl, we beat the Jags. But I just think that the Tennessee Titans have the Colts number, and it's just all about matchup. And I think that the Tennessee Titans match up with the Indianapolis Colts. I understand they got a great running game, and I know they got some great wide receivers with Pittman and all those guys and Pascal and all those guys. But I just think that the physicality that the Tennessee Titans bring with offense, defense, special teams, they're just a better team.
I'm going to tell you right now what the factor is. And you mentioned running the football and how important that is and how critical that is to winning at this point in the season, in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. Well, stopping the run is important too. And guess who has the number two run defense? And when I talked to Jeffrey Simmons today, he told me that they're gunning for the number one run defense. That's the Titans. And you talk about the physicality that the Colts offensive line has, starting with Quentin Nelson.
Oh, he's a dog.
He is. But guess who's the neutralizer there?
Who's that?
Jeffrey Simmons.
Jeffrey
Let
Simmons.
Me tell you something. You remember those Nokia flip phones?
Mm-hmm.
You remember how they fold, right? You put them in your pocket? That's how Jeffrey Simmons was folding Quentin Nelson multiple times. Now, it's a back-and-forth battle because they get each other, but I'm just saying that's a neutralizer there. So that, in my opinion, would be a huge test. So you're saying that the Titans would beat the Colts there?
Yeah, and the reason why I say that is I think we will have better quarterback play. I mean, I understand.
Understood.
Okay. You know that Tannehill has struggled a little early in a couple of games, but he's playing with confidence now. And if he just protects the football and we put some pressure on Wentz, Wentz is going to panic and throw some interceptions like he did last time they played him. So I just think that that's the main factor of the whole game. Both defenses are stout. Both offenses have great running games. Both offenses have good wide receivers. But the key factor is which quarterback is going to show up, Wentz or Tannehill.
You know, Wentz falls into that category. I put Andy Dalton there.
Yeah.
I put Matthew Stafford there, Baker Mayfield there, Kirk Cousins there. And the category is one that I call double agent.
Yeah.
Make plays for both teams. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
the team he plays for and the team he plays against.
Absolutely.
And you could just go to the last game that they played as an example as far as the Colts and Titans are concerned. So you got Carson Wentz is a factor there. Ryan Tannehill, and it's funny you mentioned that conviction because – you know, I got him to kind of allude to actually having that cockiness back now that A.J. Brown is in the lineup. And let me tell you this. We said it yesterday, right, when we were on the 6 to 7 hour with Elijah. Big-time players make big-time plays 100%. In big-time games. Number 11, that one goes out to you. It's your turn to come up big.
I mean, but this don't even put on number 11. Let's put on number 2. You know, number 2, he's a big-time player. Now it's time to show why we brought you here.
Yeah.
And I just think that they're going to get man-to-man coverage. I don't care if it's a 7-yard slant or a 10-yard hitch or whatever it is. You got to make the play, big dog.
Gotcha.
Every play counts because your play may cost the team winning or cost the team in losing. So every play counts. It ain't like, well, okay, I'll drop a pass here and drop a pass there and we come back next week. Because if you drop a pass and do it like we did in the year 2000 – when Baltimore came in there as a hot team, we had 469 yards. They had 76, but 3 turnovers. You're out of here. And you don't want that to happen. You got to make every play count.
No doubt about it. And that's the key. That's the key. You got to make every play count.
Absolutely.
And I think, you know, it's really about going out there and seizing the moment, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
So that being said, you got the Colts and Titans. So then you look at the Chiefs. It would be Chiefs and
it'll be the Bills.
Chiefs and Bills. Yeah, because you had the Colts beating the Bengals. Yeah, so it's Chiefs and Bills. Who you got there?
You know what? I know it's hard to win in Arrowhead, but it's just something about this Bills team that kind of keeps me scary. And the reason why, you know, it keeps me scared is because their defense is nasty. I mean, they're physical. They got a good secondary. I mean, the only time they lose is if Josh Allen's not on his game. But he still has a lot to prove. I mean, everybody talks how good he is and how great he's been doing this year. But I don't think he's satisfied. So if he can play well and the defense doesn't give up any big plays like they haven't really all season, that's a bad team, boss.
Exactly. That's a big time thing. Big time thing. So you got
the Bills beating them. Yeah.
You got the Bills beating the Chiefs.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So it is a rivalry that seems to be budding, right? You know, you look at the Titans lost to them a couple times in 2018 once, 2019, and they spanked them last year. They gave them a beatdown this year.
Yep.
AFC Championship, Nissan Stadium, Titans and Bills. Are you going to be there?
I'm gonna do the music miracle. I'm gonna reenact it.
Maybe they can have you be the 12th Titan.
But you know, to be crazy, on all series, I would love to do that, but Kevin Dyson needs to do that.
Yeah, no, that's it. And right after I said that, that's what I thought of. I've seen him do it before, though. So you know what I mean.
Yeah, and also too, man. You know, before our show, we forgot to do our thing, man. Why are you tripping like that?
Oh, man, I was so into the return of Derrick Henry, I completely forgot about it. But we'll get it on the way out. You
Absolutely.
Already know that. You know that. So I guess Bills-Titans,
uh-huh.
what do you have going on? The floor is yours.
I mean, I say the Titans win by 3. And the reason why I say it is going to come down to the last possession, and it all is going to go down to which quarterback plays well, because – even Henry being back and even Foreman being back, you know, that's going to be a stingy defense. I know that Henry gassed him for, I think it was a 76-yard touchdown or 56, I can't remember. So they're going to be delivered to stop the run. So it's all going to depend on which quarterback makes the least amount of mistakes.
Who does?
I say Titans by 3.
Titans by 3 and a close
Titans
one.
By 3. Yeah.
Okay. So we're not going to go through the whole steps of the NFC, but I mean, shoot, we're going through it. So, who do you have coming out of the NFC?
Oh, I got Green Bay.
Green Bay.
I got Green Bay. I know they're the hottest team right now, but they always get to the NFC Championship, and you know they be like a python and get choked out. But I just think that there's something different about this team. There's a different look in Rodgers' eyes, and I think there's more unity. I know I'm not saying it's complete unity, but I think they put the stuff in the past and focus on winning ball games. So I'm going to go with the Green Bay Packers by a lot, whoever they play.
Okay. Titans and Packers in L.A. The Matt LaFleur, Mike Vrabel, bowl. Say that a few times. You get messed
Absolutely.
Up.
Absolutely.
What do you see happening?
I call you next week and tell you about that one.
Yeah, that's we jumped pretty far into the future.
Yeah, I got to put my brakes on that because I got to think about that one, boss.
Yeah, no, I feel you. I feel you. Well, on the way out, we said we were going to do it, so I guess that music, we don't have to have the music fade, but the lights will dim, and here it comes. And now. At power forward for your Washington Bullets, number 10, Wes Unseld.
And now, starring in a cartoon with Bill Cosby, Little Bill.
I thought you were going to say Mushmouth. I was going to say, whether you be talking about it.
Hey, I'm gonna save it for next time, though. That's a classic right there, boss.
Yo, that's funny, man. For those who don't know, that's the old Cosby Kids cartoon, man.
Classic.
Yes,
classic,
sir.
Boss,
throwback. Hey, man, what can you say? We're in good spirits, man.
Absolutely.
Run TMC, the guy who brings us in, is finally back on the football field. That's a sight for sore eyes. Chris, I appreciate you, man, week.
Boss.
Folks, we're going to have much more Run TMC coming. We're working on some things, so
Absolutely.
Stay tuned.
Yes, sir. Appreciate you, Doc.
So that was Chris Sanders. You got that double dose of Run TMC. Always good to talk some shop there. Like I said, folks, stay tuned because we have some things coming out that we're working on. So you get more of that for sure. I know you guys like that. We like providing it. And just for additional coverage, make sure you check out ESPN.com. You will see on the Titans page, all of my Titans digital work, and stay tuned to more and more. Not Run TMC, not yet, but different appearances Monday on DDC, Darren Donick and Chase. You get me there at 11 o'clock a.m. Wednesday, obviously talking with TD. Thursday, you got me, the TD Power Hour from 3 to 4 with Steelman and Company. Friday, you know what we do, 8 a.m., Robbie and Rex Road. That's the rundown. And on Sunday, 10:45 a.m., just before the game, you get me there. Doing a quick preview of what the Titans are looking at on game day. So we're everywhere. You want us on TV, you could check that out occasionally on SportsCenter. But you could also catch WKRN. You'll see me on 10:30 on Saturday nights. A quick little thing that we do there. So nevertheless, I appreciate the support that each of you give us. Elijah and I together, you know, bring this show to you. And we've worked it out. And we appreciate any additional subscriptions. So search us out. Talking with TD on iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts. Rate, review. We appreciate you. Thanks for tuning in. God bless. Good night.